Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? May be curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast.
Okay, everybody, episode 44 of the China Business Cast. Mike here and Shlomo, of course. How are you doing, Shlomo?
Hey, Mike. I'm good. Actually, a little nervous.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
We moved to a new place about a month and a half ago, and we decided we're going to make a listing at Airbnb, and we got our first guest coming tomorrow. We are hyped up about this, but kind of nervous. You know what's going to happen? We're going to get a good review. So we're cleaning the house, tidying things up. Let's hope it goes smooth, but it's kind of a new experience. But it's nice. We're very positive about it.
Okay. Yeah, it's exciting, man. That's what it's all about enjoying our lives and going outside of our boundaries. Speaking of boundaries, we have a lot of different trips and events to talk about. So first one, we were mentioning last show, the cross-border trip that I was running between Hong Kong and Shenzhen is wrapped up about a week ago.
How was it?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, over 20 people, which was, we're trying to keep it small. We filled up a whole van. So there's a little bit, I had to stand up a little bit, but it was cool. We went through the free trade zones in Shanghai and we talked government and we had great, different speakers, local Chinese and international speakers, and toured around different companies, of action-packed day and lunch and dinner, everything. It was really fun, but of course, as the organizer, really, really exhausting. So
the funny thing is that a few days before that trip, we spoke, and then you kept saying people coming last minute, and then you were like, the numbers just shoot up.
Yeah,
people just register last minute. So guys, make Mike's life easier and just register ahead. Okay.
Yeah, sure. I know everybody. I guess people just want to make sure that they have time or they're able to go or. Like to make stressful lives, but and there's another conference coming up. I wish Shlomo, well, we got you coming up soon, but it's up in Shanghai. There's the chat. It's called the chat conference. We actually had one of our previous guests, Matt Brennan from China Channel, is the co-organizer with Walk the Chat, which also is on the show, Thomas. So they are joining forces and making one of the biggest English language conferences on WeChat and social media marketing in China. So that's September 1st and 2nd. We are going to have a booth, even though Shlomo won't be there. He'll be there
virtually.
Yeah, virtually. So it'll be action-packed couple of days, and hopefully we can meet some listeners and we can get some new listeners. And I'll be having a workshop on Friday morning about cross-border business. So it's going to be an action-packed time.
Yeah, I just had a look at the roll-up of speakers. These are really impressive. I think it's the best people I know of in China, English speaking about WeChat, social media. So very impressive.
Yep. And we got a special deal for you guys, a little discount. It is a paid event. So we have a 15% coupon that you can use that when you check out. We'll put the link on the show notes, or you can probably find it in WeChat. But when you check out, it's a long one, so get your pen out. It's big Q, big M, big W, big D, big C, big W, big M, big one, or just the one, number one, not big one.
And okay, then, do it again, Mike.
Q.
Repeat that for our listeners.
All right, here we go. Q, M, W, D, C, W, M, one. I sound like I'm reading off a lottery ticket or something.
Amazing.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, we're also going to have the link, of course, but if you're just listening and not going to the website, that's the way to do it. But what's the URL? What's the URL for registering?
I guess it's pretty easy to remember. Yeah, it's eventbank.cn/event/5822. So that'll take you to the event with all the details and a checkout link. And then you can have a little coupon spot there for our discount to you. So that's it.
Cool.
And then the third event, which is a little bit early, but we're in discussion. Shlomo and I are going to work together on having some Chinese investors head over to Israel, and excited for that one.
That's a cross-border.
more cross-border investment and businesses. We are global here, and you know, so hopefully some listeners, you know, could give us some feedback or think, you know, what they're interested in Israel. And it's a really hot market right now. I know a lot of Chinese investors are flocking to Israel, right? You're there, so you must be.
Yeah, definitely. There are lots and lots of Chinese companies and investors coming to Israel. And basically, this trip is about showing Israel's innovation, going to different accelerators, different companies showing different technologies. So kind of get to see what's going on here. Then obviously, considering for investors, if they want to go into this market, basically see what's happening.
Yep. So we're still deciding a date and the kind of the format. So if you guys want to be involved, definitely shoot us a note, shlomo@chinabusinesscast.com and or mike@chinabusinesscast.com. And that was a lot of announcements. So we are getting into our show, which is also cross-border investments. So it's exciting. Shlomo, do you want to talk about our guest today?
Yeah. So we have Joao Monteiro, and this guy has an interesting venture. He's doing cross-border investments between China and Portugal, or basically the EU, showing Chinese investors what Portugal has to offer. And that was an interesting discussion. So let's jump in.
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another China Business Cast. We have another global interview. We have people all around the world on this call, and I am afraid to pronounce your name, Joa. We were just talking about this before the show.
You did it very well.
Joao.
So
it's pronounced Joao Monteiro.
Joao Monteiro. Great. So
you're up, sir. Perfect.
Joao Monteiro. Okay, great. And we met at the RISE conference, which was really a great conference. And you are doing some interesting things between Portugal and China. So do you mind giving us a couple minutes high level introduction of yourself for our listeners?
Yes, of course. First of all, I can start with a small introduction about myself. I started my interest in innovation in the new technologies right after I left high school. I went to engineering school here in Porto, which is the second biggest town in Portugal. And throughout the years, I always continued to nurture an interest for new technologies, for new products, for things that were disruptive to the ways that they were being done before in the market. So In the last year, I started to go to China with a Portuguese association, which is called the Portugal-China Young Entrepreneurs Association. So as a student, I went to China two times. And by then, I had the idea to start this project that I'm now developing. So when the idea was when I was in meetings with our entrepreneurs, I was being approached by other Chinese entrepreneurs to find them new technologies and products that they could be interested in investing from China to Portugal. So I talked with an experienced entrepreneur which has a background in investment consulting, and I told him, so I have this project. I already have something like a case study. I already studied the market. So I made a small presentation. Shall we do this together? And he entered the boat with me. And we started in 2016 with a clear intent and the clear objective of finding investment, finding partners for Portuguese startups in China. So when I'm talking about investment, I'm not talking only about financial investment for the startups. What we are trying to do is find partners in China which are in the same area and in the same industry, and that can help in some way the startup the startup in Portugal. And most of these times, the startup will have to go to China at any point. If they have a production need, if they have an interest in China, they'll move some operations to China. So pretty fast, it's what we are doing at the moment.
Got it. Very cool. Yeah, so we'll get in some details today. Kind of leads into the next.
Yeah.
So you go both ways, it seems. So you're helping people come to Portugal from China, and also people come in, you know, do both directions.
I myself and my partner Bernardo was coming and going to China at least two or three times per month, and I myself go to China like six or seven times per year. So right now I'm going to China again in the 26th of July, and I will be always coming and going during the year. The idea is that we bring at some point the investors to Portugal. And we already have brought two of them. We bring the investors to Portugal, and we bring the startups to China when it's needed. So we are in the middle of all the process. We mediate all the process between the investor and the startup, as they are not together at most of the times. And we have team permanently in China, and we are able to manage their relation, to manage all their needs together. We can tackle them very well.
I see. So, João, what are the differences that you see because you now know both startup scenes? And I see obviously the difference between the startup scene in China and the one in Israel. That's the two that I'm connected to. But how do you see the startup scene in China versus the one in Portugal and in Europe in general?
Oh, okay. The way I'm putting it at the moment is that first, I differentiate the startup scene in China in two different startup scenes. And in China, we have the startups that are inside incubators and are inside programs that are exclusively made and that are exclusively thought by Chinese entrepreneurs and for Chinese entrepreneurs. And these I can call the Chinese style startups. And inside China, we also have the other great startups and other great scene of startups that are the ones that already have some connection to the Western world, and these two have a very different feel to it. I don't know if you ever experienced it. If you go to incubators around China, some of them feel very Western, and others don't feel Western at all. And the feeling inside incubator and the way they develop their work is different. So in China, we already divide them in two. And for sure, for the European startup scene, there are a lot of differences. First, from the way the work is developed, the way the work is promoted in Europe, which is a lot like with the United States scene. Also, it's everything is very, very eased up. There are not a lot of protocols to be followed, and the work and the objectives are what matter. So in that way, I think that we are doing it very well in the West, and in this case in the Chinese style startups, in the Chinese style scene of startups. We have a very different feel to it because they are usually connected to universities and to the best universities in China, and you feel some heaviness around these startups because they have very good investigators behind them. They are very serious people that take their startups very, very seriously, and they don't have the easiness of the startups from the West. I don't know if this answers your question.
Sure. Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah, some good insights. So I think a lot of times, maybe it's my assumption, or I'm not sure if it's my assumption or if it's something you'd agree with, but my experience is usually more technical or maker kind of people in China. And then in the Western market or maybe the US market, there's usually heavier marketing and sales type people. Is that something you would also say, like China needs more marketing help or?
Yes, I think that I didn't talk about that, but in the way I talked about the startup scene, it is implied when I told that they have really good investigators that take their work very seriously, that there is a lack of approach to the market that that needs to be tackled. And that's where the startups, the Chinese startup scene in China that have a Western, that already have Western influences, I think that and as I look, that they are doing much better than the others, because the others end up being an investigator that tackles a product and that creates a product, and there's not much in that being done.
Got it. Yeah. Agree too.
Joao, I want to take you back to the time that you actually started this thing, and you mentioned this at the intro at the beginning, but being very practical about it, did you first find the investors helping you with that to support the project, or did you had to come up with the startups first and then tell them, okay, now we're looking for the investors to initiate all that?
So I will tell you how we started the project and how we developed it in the first months. So it will answer to your question. So in the first months so far of 2016, in the first 3 months, we solely and we exclusively dedicated ourselves to finding the startups in Portugal. So the first thing I did was calling to my contacts in the biggest incubators and investors in Portugal. And I told them about the project. So first I tackled the incubators themselves, saying that the project was being started. And then I talked to the startups to get them to know and to ask them if they wanted to be represented by us in China. And what I found was very interesting. Most of the startups had a very, very high curiosity for China. They really, really wanted to come to China, but they were scared as hell to come to China. They didn't know how. They were afraid of being robbed in China. They were afraid of someone trying to scam them, and so they didn't come. They just tackled the European and the US market, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So when they saw a company that had a vast background in China and that had people that were in China for many years and with proven success in China, which I'm not talking about myself, I'm talking about my partner, that is a known investment consultant in Portugal. They were very happy that someone was doing it, so they entered the boat with us. So after these three first months in Portugal with the startups, we spent 2.5 months in China, and in China, Macau, and Hong Kong, promoting the projects, finding mm-hmm. the investors, showing them the projects and the technologies, and that's where the hardest work was done, because it is I found everything. I met with the most people I could. So I met with people that had a clear notion of what a startup is and what it involves to invest in a startup. And I also met people that have no notion about what a startup is. And even though I had to be something like a teacher to them about the startup world. And it is very important to say that also, that it is possible to find an investor that has no notion about and that has no idea about the startups in the West. Mm-hmm. Because if he's the right person for the project, and if he's the right partner for the startup in China, he may do it even without knowing all the things that the startup is about. He just needs to know all that involves a project. He needs to know that the risk is very, very high, but also that the prices, and that if everything goes correctly, they win a lot.
But would they invest in the startup itself in Portugal, or they would invest in a company that they, or a WFI that they open in China? Because I've seen different cases and different investors in my work with them. Most of them obviously prefer to go with startups that go to China and open their company there, and they wouldn't put their money overseas.
Yeah, they actually when I talk to them, every investor tries to do the second case, which is open a second brand of the startup in China, and that's where they put their money. But the main purpose of the project is also finding investment for the operations of the startup in Portugal. So we try the most we can to to bring the investments to Portugal also, and it is possible. But most of the investors will try to invest in China, and the investors that are investing in Portugal the most are the ones that already have investments in Europe at least. So they will not do their first investment in Europe, such a high risk investment. So these are high net worth people that have very secure investments, and they do one or two more risky investments on startups.
So are these funds or angel investors? Can you maybe give some information about that?
I'm tackling specifically angel investors at the moment. As I understood that tackling funds would be very difficult for me to manage the relations, because the funds are much bigger, much heavier corporations. I might consider tackling the bigger funds in the future, but for now, as I told you in the beginning, is finding the right partner for the startup in China, finding the person that will have so much interest that they will add value to the projects.
Very cool, very cool, interesting stuff. I feel like I'm shifting gears with my next question, but
go for it.
But for, you know, Western entrepreneurs, or maybe we'll say European entrepreneurs that you know coming in, is it difficult to get Chinese developers? Is that something they should look to do, or should they maybe keep their development in Europe? Or
I think that they should keep their development in Europe for a various number of reasons that you can imagine. And they might move some part of their operations to China. But I don't think that they will that the startups will be comfortable in moving all of their R&D to China.
Got it.
See, here's something I'm contemplating with a lot, actually, and I'm asking myself this question every day: if Western entrepreneurs have a chance succeeding doing a startup in China. I'm living this thing for the past 5 years or so. And obviously there are different cases. And yes, there are cases of successful startups and unsuccessful. But my feeling is that it's very difficult. But I wonder what's your understanding about this in general.
I think that if an entrepreneur wants to start a startup in China, develop all of the operations in China without and going to China for the first time and without even notion about the language, I think there are two clear answers for that, or three clear answers, and those are the incubators that have the biggest Western field to it, which are X and China Accelerator, which are great projects and great programs that for sure will be able to make a startup succeed if they go the first time to China. But I think if a startup goes the first time that they want to start a startup, they will go to some Chinese incubator that is really good, that is really, really big, and that has really good facilities and services. But I think that they won't succeed. But that's just my feeling. I hope that there are people out there surprising and not meeting this feeling that I have.
So what you're saying essentially is that they can succeed, but they need to use the local services or entities like the incubators and accelerators to help them succeed. If they're doing it by themselves, they're unlikely. It's unlikely to succeed.
Yes, for sure. And even in the accelerators, the two names that I told, China Accelerator and X, those are the two that I think that they will have more possibilities of succeeding, because there's one part, and that's something that I don't want to happen with the startups that I'm presenting. As you know, it can be very rough to be an expat in China, and if you are working in China with being an entrepreneur in Europe or USA, it's also a very rough and very difficult path. So if you imagine someone doing these two very difficult paths at one time, the path of starting to be an expat in China in a community that they don't know, that they don't understand, and working in a, in an entrepreneur project where they have to do everything by themselves with only some help of services and the co-work spaces, it will, the difficulty is much higher, and it is much less possible that they will be able to endure all of the process until getting to the success. If they are included in a good ambient, in a place that is really good for them, and that don't let them feel so much like an expat in China, maybe they will succeed.
Really cool.
That's just my opinion. I want to state that it's something that I feel, not something that I've been through, or not something that I know that has been happening.
That's okay. That's your own experience. That's okay.
That's what people want to hear. You know, I mean, we don't want to hear textbook answers. So here's a classic question that I'm sure people ask you a lot, but I don't know. Maybe would this be different, do you think, for where they're trying to raise money? But I guess entrepreneurs are always looking to get an investment. Of course, you know, I mean, everybody's always asking, can I help get an investor for them or other things? So you must get asked this a lot. How do you usually answer the question of an entrepreneur saying, how do I get an investor? Mm. Or would it be different if they're in China or they're Chinese or they're in Portugal, or is location matter, or probably does too, right? So how would you kind of handle this?
The location matters, of course. I can only try to answer that. The startups that I'm working with, all of them already have investors in Portugal and already have investors in the Western communities. So for finding an investor in Europe or the USA, they know it well. For finding an investor in China, where I try to counsel them from, and how finding an investor in China is all about relations and all about being able to show the project and to make the project be understood to the investor very well. Because even though there is someone in the middle trying to mediate all of the conversations and to make everything super clear to the investor, it is very easy that something gets lost in the translation. It's very easy that the investor will not be interested because it's so far away. So if a startup asks me how they find an investor in China, I say go for the very clear communication, go for explaining the project very well, for having all the documents ready in the first meeting that I put you up with an investor, and follow what he asks, and try to understand what he asks, and send them as much information as possible.
What's the business model that you're working with these startups then? How this works?
Okay, our business models, and that's why we are having success already, and we had success in getting a lot of startups in the beginning, and very good startups, is that our business model is concerned in first giving and then receiving. So we start working with them, with the startups, without asking for any money. The only part that we receive our part is when the investment is done. So we take a success fee of the investment. And this was very well accepted by the startups, because when they started to work with us, the first thing I do is do a small market research. Already I counsel them about China. I give them a lot of contacts, they meet a lot of people much before the investment is done. So even if they don't receive any investment, we are always adding value to the startups and to the projects. And when they get the investment, we receive a success fee on that. That is variable. It is variable for different amounts of investments.
I see.
So I guess people interested, how do you usually source? I mean, if there's a listener today interested, they should reach out to you, or who are you looking for usually in your kind of like sourcing deals?
The stage that I'm the startups that I'm looking for, and the project that I have in my head are all projects that are post seed investments and that are already established and that already at least have an MVP, which and a very viable MVP. so that I can present the work to the investors. It's the only way it can be done, and I'm feeling it it can be done. If it is a very early stage startup, the investor won't have interest because he wants to see something done already. He wants to see the project working. And if it is a very late stage startup, the project will or already be too expensive for the investor, or it will be not interesting anymore. So I'm looking for startups that have just finished the prototyping and that are ready for industrialization, that already have a viable MVP of their of product, so that when I present the project to the investor, he can have a clear view about where the project is and that all of the proofs have been made before he invests.
Okay, João, we already passed the half an hour interview, so we're towards the end, but this is the time that you're letting our listeners know what's the best way to get in touch with you if they want to hear more or want more details or asking you in general stuff that you do. So hit it on.
Okay.
LinkedIn, email, whatever.
If you want to get in touch with me, we are finishing our website and our presentation in the website. So later I can give you that. But for now, just to stay with my email, which is a little bit difficult for me to say it here, which is joam@trineestcon.com. So you can drop me a line and I'll be very happy to have to meet with you again. It is very important to say I'm talking only about Portuguese startups, but if there is a startup that from outside of Portugal that has interest in our services, we are also able to tackle it. It would be perfect that it would be in the western part of Europe, because if we need to gather together, it would be easier for us.
Awesome. We're also going to add your website when you have it and the email on the show notes, so people can click on that and get to those. So we'll get this later.
Perfect. So please add it. I will be very, even if it's someone only curious about China and only curious about how business is done in China, I'm very, very happy to talk to them, and I'm very happy to try to explain some things.
Awesome. João, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. It was great.
Thank you very much for everything, Michael and Shlomo. Hope we meet again in China. And just telling you, RISE was an amazing conference, and it was an amazing place to meet you, Michael. Thank you for everything.
Yeah, it was great. I'm really happy, and thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry, China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.